We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who took upon yourself our sin, our brokenness, our flaws, our weakness, you who walked humbly, you who prayed for the Father to remove the cup, and yet you were submissive to him, grant us an increasing joy in you and by your Holy Spirit. Grant us, each of us, that we would be more and more like unto you, walking humbly before our God, yielding and trusting that it is the best, right, and godly way. Grant it for your sake. Amen. Dear friends in our Lord, we're continuing, or we're concluding a brief sermon series on Matthew 26. Tuesday was a holy anointing, the breaking of the jar of perfume by Mary. Yesterday was the holy meal, which Christ has given for us and for the strengthening of faith. And today, we're going to talk about these verses that were read, a holy submission. What I'd like to do with you, first of all, is have you turn with me to page 1006 in the Pew Bible, if you would. You certainly don't have to, but I'd like you to see something with me there. 1006, we're going to go to Hebrews 10. I am fascinated that there are a couple of verses here that are one of the readings, the epistle readings assigned for Christmas Day or Christmas Day 1. And I understand it, and yet I don't think I understand it completely, and it just fascinates me. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, that would be Christmas time, as the newborn, he said, this fascinates me, do babies talk? I mean, what do you make of that? Do babies talk? When Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. There is wrapped up in there the what I would call the holy mystery of the Trinity, that God, taking our flesh, speaks to the Father and says, I know why I'm here. I know why I have come. I have come to die, to be sacrificed in payment of sin. That takes us back to Matthew 26, which is just read. It's on page 833. If you'd like to follow along with me, 832 and 833, I want to emphasize a few verses and talk about what is this thing called humility. In Philippians chapter 2, we are told, have this mind among yourselves that was in Christ Jesus, that though he was equal with God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to or grasped. We know that text from Philippians 2. To be like unto Christ, to be humble as Christ was humble, but it's more than humility, although Christ certainly walked in humility. It's more than just saying, well, I'm a very humble person. It is a yielding of oneself to God. At every turn, at every level, at every moment, it is not in our sinful nature to do that. I give you Peter with a sword in the garden. It is not in our nature to yield up to God at every turn, at every level, at every moment, at every aspect in ministry, at every challenge we face, at every difficulty that comes our way, that everything that comes against us, perhaps in crisis or crises, how are we going to respond? Before we read, or before this section was read, I want to look with you real briefly at verses 36 to 46. It's familiar to all of us, I'm quite sure. It is the moment in the garden when Jesus prayed. And for all of the Western art that pictures Jesus kneeling with his hands on a rock, I give you this word, verse 39, and going a little farther, he fell on his face. The Greek would be, he flung himself down, face down. This is a man in agony. Not physical yet, that's about to happen, but emotional, mental, even spiritual agony. In Luke, we have that description that as he was praying, the sweat fell like drops of blood from him. which is to tell us Jesus, fully God, but also fully man, was facing some serious blood pressure issues and was close to stroking out the attack of Satan continually upon God's work of salvation. Jesus, in humility, yielded himself to his Father and prayed, and then he prayed, and then he prayed, and then he was prepared. Let me read this with you. Verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, who had only recently been asking for a favored position, remember that, in the kingdom? He still brought them as he brings us in ministry. He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. I could die. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face, I read, in emotional, spiritual agony, and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. The consistency in prayer, the yielding up to God in prayer, the mystery of the Trinity, the holy mystery of the Trinity, that God has taken upon himself our flesh, is not half man, is not man now and then. He is fully man and fully God, and he yielded himself up to the Father at every turn, at every moment, at every level. Yes, Jesus was humble, but it's more than just being humble. It is being yielded to God, trusting in his perfect ways. God is true and he can be trusted. He is true and he can be trusted, and his ways are right and his salvation is perfect. Can we yield to him as students of the word, as pastors going out, as professors, as faculty, as spouses? Can we yield to him in every one of our moments, in every one of our turns, at every one of our crises or opportunities? 45, then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on." You sleep later. But boys, not now. Not now. See? The hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand. Now our Jesus is ready. This encourages me. This strengthens me. This comforts me. This pushes me to be sure that I am a man of prayer in my yieldingness. To be a man of prayer in my desire to walk humbly before God. It is not walking through life saying, "I want to be humble." It is yielding to God at every turn. Now, let's go to the next page, the next column, and I want to give you that beautiful text, 51, verse 51. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus, John says it was Peter, stretched out his hand, drew his sword. He brought a sword with him. Did he have it at the Lord's Supper? This is his sword. They went from the Lord's Supper singing hymns to Gethsemane, then they had a time of prayer, and Peter drew his sword. And tried to kill the high priest, the servant rather, the high priest. You do know Peter wasn't going for the ear. You know that. You know he was going for death. "I'll rescue you, Jesus. I'll save you, Jesus." From what? From the will of the Father to sacrifice my body? Peter, why would you save me from that? Why do you think that's good? Why do you think that you have it in you to solve my problems? Just put it back. And then Luke tells us Jesus healed the ear. Because God is gracious, and he is kind, and he is forgiving. And then verse 53. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me, another Bible translation says, and give me at my disposal 12 legions of angels, more than that. By most accounts, that would be 72,000 angels. And I think to myself, what could I do with 72,000 angels? Do you know what I could do? Do you know how I could change people and stop movements? Do you know what I could do with 72,000 angels? You know what I could do with 72,000 soldiers in that garden? Think what Jesus could have done. Psh, 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 done. Let's go on and do some more healings and miracles and teachings. No, Hebrews 10, when Christ came into the world, Christmas, he said, I have come to do your will, O God, because you've given me a body for sacrifice. So when we read in Scripture that our Christ was humble, it's more than simply being humble. I'm very humble. It is yielding to God, the Eternal One, at every turn, at every level, at every moment. I've learned this. Perfectly? No, not perfectly. I've learned the value of yielding to God, but not simply sitting, but being a man of prayer. I want to give you a little example. Some years ago, our congregation was facing a crisis, I don't want to say of epic proportions, but it was a huge crisis surrounding the role, the decision-making, the direction of one person on staff. That's all you need to know. And as senior pastor, I needed to, by God's grace, work us through that challenge and difficulty. And I had people of God, pardon me, faithful people, yammering at me from two different directions. I mean, they were yipping and yapping at me. You should do this. No, that would be too harsh. You should do this. This would be the kind. No, you should. And I think for a while, I wasn't making anybody happy. Now, that's probably an exaggeration. But when I think of Christ's suffering, it wasn't much suffering on my part. And I was convinced of one thing. If I acted on my desires, I would make a holy mess of what was already a difficulty. I knew it. I knew that humanly speaking, I was sitting on a powder keg. And if I decided, as Peter did, to take the sword, which was a temptation, frankly, it would have done great damage. By God's grace, and I've not done this perfectly as much as I would like, but by God's grace, I yielded to God, and it seemed to other people like I was doing nothing. It really did. Well, why don't you do something? This is going on, and it really lasted 3 to 5 months we had to go through that. Why don't you do something and fix this? Aren't you the senior pastor? And my prayers became more and more and more simple. I'm going to teach you my prayer right now, because you may want to use it sometime. Oh God, hinder evil and reveal truth. Amen. 50 times a day was nothing for me to pray that prayer. Oh God, hinder evil, because it was lurking, and reveal truth, because more and more people needed to know what I already knew, but not by me taking the sword. My sword, it was Peter's sword. I'll kill him for Jesus. Yeah, killing for Jesus, there you go. That's the answer. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. But the humility of Christ, fully God, fully man, the yieldingness to the truth, to God's perfect plan. In the scriptures, there are many prayers, some gorgeous prayers. Hezekiah, Solomon's dedication prayer. You can't go much better than that one. But my favorite prayer, and maybe just because of the years and understanding the wisdom of giving over to God, is the prayer of David. When his own son, Absalom, had taken control, had taken authority, had turned the people to him and away from David. And even with the agony emotionally and the threat physically that was facing David, now an older statesman, still a man of God, it was made all the more severe when he was told, also, Ahithophel, your counselor, has gone over to Absalom. My own counselor, Ahithophel. And this was David's prayer. Oh God, turn Ahithophel's wisdom to foolishness. Amen. Now, I put in the amen. It's not in the text, but oh Lord, turn Ahithophel's wisdom to foolishness. I love that prayer because it is a yielding to God. Peter, I got a sword here, Jesus. I got a sword. But Jesus had prayed 3 times out of agony. And then he was strengthened, and then he was prepared. The angels were sent, Luke 22:23, the angels were sent, and our Lord, fully man, on our behalf, was prepared. Rise, he told Peter, James, and John. Let's go. I'm ready. Which is the same exact thing he said as a newborn. And I don't know how he said it, but Hebrews 10 says he said it. Here I am, O God, I have come to do your will. A body for sacrifice you have prepared for me. And then 33 years later, a man of prayer, our Jesus, our Christ, our God, said, all right, I'm ready now. Let's go. I prayed. Let's go. It's time for the sacrifice, which is the sacrifice for our sins. We are called in Philippians 2, have this mind among yourselves, the humility of Christ. But it isn't simply to be walking as a humble person, although there is something in that, but to be yielding to our saving God at every turn, at every level, at every moment, at every crisis, even if they're suffering, because it is God's way to reveal himself. May God grant it always. Amen.